Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
Philip tipped me off to a story in MarketWatch.com, and I've talked before about how people in positions of trust often misuse that position and then enrich themselves thereby. And what I'm talking about is people who rip off where they work, or they rip off somebody that they're helping. It often happens with charities too, but this time it's a business. And this is the kind of story that really makes you think, when you hire people to work for you, whether you should let them have control of anything where they can get their hands on the money that belongs to you and or your company. The theft was fatal. Employee used 189 credit card refunds to embezzle nearly $200,000, bankrupting a package firm. Lucas Alpert wrote the story for MarketWatch.com. And this is what's crazy. It was an unusual way that the person got the money, but it put the company out of business. It actually took the company down. So the woman is 54 years old of Pittsburgh. She worked for the company Gateway Packaging Corp for 5 years. She was there for 5 years. She was the trusted controller of a family-run packaging firm in Pennsylvania. Now, she's been sentenced to 2 years in prison for stealing nearly $200,000 from the company's coffers, sending it into bankruptcy, and basically out of business. People who are working there now, people who are working there then are unemployed or working someplace else. They had to let everyone go. She managed to make off with the cash by issuing herself and her husband 189 different credit card refunds over the years, which she steered into her bank account, according to prosecutors. She then provided the company's owners with false financial statements to conceal her crime, according, again, to court documents. So she's taken the money through this credit card thing, and then she's showing the books to the owners who look at it and go, well, these books look good and the numbers add up and so on. The numbers were false, and she'd falsified them to cover what she had done. Prosecutors said the fraud was so extensive that it forced the company out of business, which resulted in 25 people losing their jobs. So the company went under, 25 people out of work, and of course the owners are out their money. Lee Carl, the assistant U.S. attorney for the Western District of Pennsylvania, wrote in his sentencing report, "For a small company, the theft was fatal." And yes, $195,000 is a lot of money, a lot of money. And there are many companies out there that if they lost that amount of money, it would put them under, especially these days operating on, you know, small margins. What she did is unforgivable. I thought I would retire from Gateway Packaging. Instead, at 55 years old, I had to start with a new company, and I was lucky. Many of my coworkers ended up at the unemployment office. All of us have paid the price, both financially and emotionally. And that is a woman writing who is a longtime employee at the company in a victim's impact statement. So in the old days, somebody get convicted of a crime, the judge would just look at him and go, well, this law says here's what you can get from this range to this range based on what I saw at the trial, I'm going to give you this. And nowadays, there's all kinds of other stuff that goes into this, and there's often pre-sentence investigation reports that are created. And they often ask for victim impact statements. And then the prosecutor can also ask the court and explain to the court why they think a certain, you know, sentence should be appropriate. And of course, the defense can do the exact same thing. But victim impact statements can actually go a long way. And I've seen some situations where in a typical case, you know, a judge might have just looked at it and said, it says here 5 to 10 years, I'll give you 7.5, you know. And I've seen victim impact statements given that were very, very moving. And I've seen it where a court clearly, based on victim impact statements, said, you know something, I'm going to go this way, I'm going to go that way, based on whatever it is. I've seen victims come into court and say, I forgive the person. I forgive the person. I ask the court to go lenient on them. But here, you got 25 people out of work because of this. The company goes under, and the company apparently been around for a while. So the victim impact statement probably did help here. Now, the attorney for the person convicted did not immediately return a message seeking comment. Prosecutors said she had a prior conviction for embezzlement and additional arrests for writing bad checks. So, you know, we talk about what investigations you should do when you're hiring somebody. And many people will look at a resume. They might call a few references and then hire them. But when you're hiring somebody to handle money or handle the books, you got to get a little more in-depth than that. And obviously, somebody who writes bad checks or who has been convicted of embezzlement might not be the person you want to hire for keeping your books or writing your checks or handling your money. Now, the wife of the general manager wrote that the family made a mistake in trusting this woman. She wrote, "It wasn't a one-time theft or lie. It was years of seeing how much she could do and get. To be a confidant to my husband and then turn around and steal shows she has no remorse. She's also been ordered to pay $195,000 in restitution." And of course, they'll probably never see a penny of that. But that often happens. So you get sentenced to jail for what you've done. And if you've harmed somebody, they often sentence you and say you must also pay restitution. It's an easy case to calculate the restitution. They say, well, she stole $195,000. She should pay the $195,000 back. The problem, of course, is she probably hasn't got it. Now, the interesting point raised by the wife of the general manager is the important one here. And that is something that you should consider when thinking about somebody who's committed a bad act, a crime, or what have you. And when you're a judge, you will take this into account. But as you or I, observing a story like this and just kind of reflecting on it, one of the things that you reflect on is the fact that the employee did this 189 times. Now, the first time, it could be an oversight. It could be an accident. It could be a lapse in judgment. I'm being generous here for a reason, okay? I understand that the first time you steal, you're still stealing. I understand that. But somebody who steals once, for whatever reason, that's one thing. They steal twice. Now you see where this is going. When you steal 189 times over 5 years, you are beyond a simple thief who has stolen something. You are clearly doing something because you think you can get away with it. You don't care about the results of what you're doing. And you are continuously lying and covering it up, falsifying documents, all of the things that this person had to do to get away with this over a 5-year span. But to commit the wrong 189 times. So the sad part is that she apparently only got a couple years in jail, right? She's been sentenced to 2 years in prison. 2 years in prison. That's after stealing almost $200,000 and running a company into the ground. The company's gone and 25 people lost their jobs. I'm wondering why the sentence was so light. 2 years. 2 years seems awfully light to me. And the order to pay back the $195,000 in restitution is basically meaningless. That'll hang over her head for the rest of her life, but she hasn't got the money. You know, you can't get the money from somebody who hasn't got it. So that's unfortunately an illusory concept. It might very well be that there's sentencing guidelines in Pennsylvania that tied the judge's hands, but I would think that more than 2 years would have been appropriate. If I was the judge and wasn't bound by any sentence guidelines, I would have looked at this and said, well, gee, you put a company out of business, you put 25 people on the street, so to speak, and you did this 189 times. This is like I said, you can't claim it was a mistake, accident, oversight, none of those things. Simple lapse of judgment one day. No, simple lapse of judgment 189 days, and that's a whole different thing. So it's a crazy story, but I think it's a reminder that if you hire people, you got to be real careful who you hire, in particular to handle your money and to do your books. That is very, very serious. I mean, I've always thought, you know, if I give someone a key to the office, that's something I got to worry about because I think about all the stuff that's in my office, right? So crazy story. Philip sent it. Thanks a lot. From MarketWatch.com, and Lucas Alpert wrote it. The theft was fatal. Employee used 189 credit card refunds to embezzle nearly $200,000, bankrupting a packaging firm and putting 25 people out of work. Questions, comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. Fill your life with lots of experiences, not lots of things. Have incredible stories to tell, not incredible clutter in your closets.